Hi, this is Dave Drewy for Pastor Mike Fabares. We're thrilled to be here with you every day, exploring the depths of Scripture. And now here's today's edition of Focal Point.
Wisdom sits down and says this: how can I maximize my impact for the kingdom? To serve well is to serve not only faithfully, but to serve wisely. Is there adjustments that need to be made here? Is this the maximum leverage of my life between now and the rapture?
When you buy a gym membership, you gain access to a whole host of resources and equipment. But whether or not you use them is completely up to you. No one's going to make you show up. Now, if you get a job working at a gym, well, that's a different story. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares uses these two examples to help frame the question of our accountability before God. We're in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 to 48, as Pastor Mike continues his message, The Fear of Responsibility.
Accountability when it comes to the Christian life is neither like the gym nor your work. Gym, no accountability. Work, constant accountability. Well, what about the Christian life? Well, I guess we have to build a third category, and that was the whole point of the parable last week. And that is that our accountability is delayed. It's not now, but it's coming. See, the whole point of that parable is you need to understand the master's coming back, and it better be that you're involved in doing the things that are not just your free agent, if I want to, responsibilities. They are the responsibilities that you have been tasked with as a part of the body of Christ. That's how we're supposed to view it. Well, after telling that parable, Peter raises his hand. Luke chapter 12, he asks this question in verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, as he often does, not answering directly, he said, well, let's just think about what I've talked about. Master's gone, servants are tasked to do some work. Now let's just give an example of a kind of work that would be done well. Think about it, Peter. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? And that's when you feel the finger of conviction in your chest. And Peter goes, I guess you are talking about us. Well, you know, then it'd be good if that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes, that would be great. If you're busy about the work you've been assigned, how awesome that would be. Why? Verse 44, truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. That spells promotion. But, verse 45, if that servant says to himself, well, the accountability, where is it? My master's delayed in coming. I can do whatever I want. Which degenerates into some kind of conflict with the other servants. He begins to beat the male and female servants. And to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. That was the point of the parable last time. At an hour he does not know, he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Unfortunately, this guy is a guy, though he seems to be in the team, he's serving himself here, and now he's assigned a place, dismembered, with those who don't have faith. Verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Now the one who did not know what? Didn't know the master's will. And did what deserved a beating. In other words, he does exactly what the other guy does. He just has less information. He'll receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Now, this is a tough text. But as I've read it for you with a little bit of commentary, I hope you can recognize there seems to be three clear categories of people discussed here. Those that end up getting a promotion, rewards, those who end up getting dismembered and assigned to the place with those who don't have faith, and those that get a beating. Those are three different categories, and I want to take them one at a time. Let's take the first four verses, 41 through 44, and think this through. In terms of someone, we'll start with the good news here, who seems to do a good job while the master's gone. He polices himself. He's a self-starter. He's looking at his life. He's doing faithful and wise things in the management that's been given to him by the master. And when the master comes back, he gets rewarded, promotion. So let's just start with that. Number one, serve well and be rewarded. Here's the promise of this text. Take the parable, apply it to ourselves, certainly applies to Peter, it applies to all of us. You have responsibilities, do that responsibility, do it well, you will get a reward. Now, it's going to be based on your faithfulness and your wisdom in taking what God has invested in you and leveraging that for fruitful ministry. Now, I know some of you, this is new. If you've never heard a sermon on rewards, which I believe, because you can go for years in a lot of churches and never hear any discussion of this, because people, as I often say, they believe in a kind of spiritual communism. At least I call it a celestial communism. And that is, we're going to get to heaven and everything's going to be equal. Or, like some of you, you just say, it doesn't matter what I have, because you know what, I'll just be happy to be there. As John Wesley says, do not let the slothful say, I'll be glad just if I get there. No, you won't be. Why? Because the Bible says you need to understand the varying degrees of riches, real estate, these are just the top four, responsibility, and reputation. Why? Well, why do you care about what's in your bank account now? Why would it be that you might just in a worldly mindset say, hey, this job that pays more for the same work is better than this job over here that pays less? Well, why? Well, because better to have a bigger bank account. Why? Well, because the gratification of the things in this tangible life and the indulgence that I can have in those things, well, that really is proportionately related to how much I have in my bank account. Well, that's true. Well, it ain't going to be like that in heaven because I'm going to be see-through playing a gold harp. No. You understand we're going to be in a very tangible, real place. Well, everyone's going to get like the gold heaven express card, and there's no limit on that, right? No. There will be commerce. There will be a marketplace. Oh, there will be some things that are given for free, I understand, from the stream of life. I understand that. But the Bible speaks of real riches all the time when it speaks of reward. And let me just say this, as daring as it sounds. Your indulgence and your gratification will be dependent on what kind of, to the extent that you have a maximum amount of that, based on your heavenly riches. That's why Jesus said, store up treasure for yourself in heaven. It will make a difference in your eternal reality. Real estate? Well, I don't know. If you had two houses and you could afford both of them and one was better than the other, why did you choose the better real estate? Why? Well, because when it comes to earthly creature comforts and convenience and comfortable things, I mean, I just like that piece of real estate better. Well, you understand there's not going to be just some long, uniformed street full of condos for people to live in the New Jerusalem. There's going to be real estate varying that's going to provide real people with varying degrees of comfort and convenience. And the Bible says you should concern yourself with that. And right now, you're investing your life, and it will determine your real estate. Responsibility. Every time I speak on this, I know people lean back and say, I just need a hammock and lemonade. I'll be fine. Why? Because, well, I don't want responsibility. I hate responsibility here on earth. I don't want more responsibility there. No, you will want more responsibility there. Because the only reason you hate responsibility here is because you're doing it in a fallen world with fallen people. Have you noticed that makes it really hard? That won't happen there. As a matter of fact, even when I think of overlooking the thorns in this fallen world regarding leadership and regarding responsibility, I do recognize there's something about the authority and the influence that sometimes even in this earth can say, well, it'd be better to get that promotion because I could have that influence in that position, and that would be better. Do you understand that in a perfect world, you're going to see that as an attractive thing even more there than you do here? Yes, there'll be varying degrees of authority and influence, and that's going to be based on your performance now in parlaying your life in your workplace, in your home life, and in your church to maximum fruitfulness. Reputation. Well, God wouldn't be into varying reputations. Well, he had a great, great opportunity to make that just an absolute heretical thought when there's all these people asking him, can I sit at your right hand and your left? And Jesus could have said, well, stop. Everyone sits at my right hand in heaven. Is that what he said? No. He said, no, it's not for you to determine this now. It's those whom the Father has appointed. And by the way, if you want to look at what it's attached to, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? What's that mean? The poetic way of saying, hey, how much are you going to sacrifice and suffer for the cause? And that's, it's going to determine where people sit in the rankings of heaven. When Peter looks at a guy who's not willing to give up a few bucks to be a follower of Christ, Peter says, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus didn't say, stop with all that self-interest in the next life. Jesus says, you know what? You will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, there will be a hierarchy and a pecking order there. Reputation will certainly bestow varying degrees of honor and prominence in the kingdom. Now, if you talk in practical terms in that way, indulgence, gratification, comfort, convenience, authority, influence, honor, prominence, those are things that you're going to want 100 years from now. And it will be based in varying degrees on what we do in this life for Christ. I'm talking to converted people now who trust in Christ by faith, knowing that our salvation is not of works. But now as Christians, your works matter. They matter a lot to God, and He will reward you proportionate to the fruit that you bore. Well, I'm not as talented as that guy. I'm not as gifted as that. It's not based on giftedness or talent. This is based on faithfulness and wisdom. So, I'd like to serve well. Would you like to serve well? To the extent that you serve well, you will be rewarded. Oh, then I got a bad section to work with. Thankfully, it's only two verses. But if the servant says to himself, my master's delayed in coming. Where's the accountability? Yeah, I can do whatever I want. He begins to beat the male and female servants, eat, drink, and get drunk. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Wow. Why would God do that to his servant? Here's a mind-boggling idea. Because he's not his servant. Well, it says servant. We'll put that in air quotes then. Servant. Put it in ink quotes if you want. Servant. He's not his servant. You know what a servant is? A servant is someone who serves the master. Look at this. He's not serving the master. Matter of fact, if you may have some confusion about the male and female servants that he's getting in fights with, clearly that is an indicator about who you're serving. Because the Bible makes that connection all the time. In other words, my amount of service to God, my real devotion to serving God is going to affect how I deal with his people. But looking here, this is a guy that's ready to go to war with God's people. He's going to beat him up if he doesn't get what he wants out of him. And then we know he's not over there taking his sack lunch, getting ready to serve the master for the rest of the day. He's there raiding the pantry and getting drunk. That guy's in it for himself. He's a servant that doesn't serve the master. That's exactly what I'm saying. Matter of fact, here's a good way to put it. He's a servant who serves himself. Well, what does he get? Well, look at it. Verse 46, he gets punished. Let's jot it down that way. Number two, you want to serve yourself, you will be punished. You serve well, you'll get rewarded. You serve yourself, you'll be punished. Now, let me make this point, just as a sidebar. Do you understand how often the Bible talks about people that claim to follow Christ that don't follow Christ? All the time. You know how often the promise is made that within the church, you are going to be surrounded, hopefully not in large numbers, but at least every congregation is going to be punctuated with people that call themselves followers of Christ, but they don't. Who, to put it in terms of Titus chapter 1, who profess to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him. People that are looking like sheep, but they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. When Paul was leaving the church at Ephesus after 3 years of ministry there, he sat the leaders down and he talked to those pastors and he said this. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, great. Put the perimeter up. Let's get some barbed wire up. Electrify the fence. No, no, no. Next verse. They'll come from among your own selves. They'll be here. They will arise among you, speaking twisted things. And they will draw the disciples after them. See, they're serving themselves in this. And they're in the church. They're like the wheat and the weeds. Remember that parable? They grow up together and they look the same. Although you'd have to look really closely and you might be able to detect, that's not bearing fruit. It looks like fruit, but it's not fruit. Because the motives and the intention is I do this for me. See, when people serve and they serve for themselves, when they attach themselves to Christianity and it is for their own pleasure, their own good, their own peace of mind, when they say, I'm in this like a free agent at the gym, if I feel like it, I'll do it. And if I don't feel like it, I know I'm not supposed to get drunk on the job, but if I don't feel it, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, then you're claiming to be a follower of Christ and you're not following. You're claiming to be a servant of Christ, but you're really serving yourself. See, this is the phony Christian. And there's a lot of talk in the Bible about that. As a matter of fact, the phony Christians will always be among us, among the real Christians. And they will sit next to us. And at the end of life, they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. If you looked carefully enough, you'd see that you can tell the wolves from the sheep, not because they don't look like Christians, but because under all of that, you know what? They are bearing bad fruit. It's just that we tried to excuse it because they kept wearing the label Christian. You know how gullible our current evangelical culture is? All you got to do is name the name of Christ. All someone has to say is, I'm on Jesus's team, and we high-five and think, yeah, sure. You claim to be, absolutely. You make any move to Christ, then we're going to consider you a Christian. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Here's someone who may hang out with the servants, but they're really self-serving. 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks of them. They're like animals. Animals just care about whatever they want. Creatures of instinct. Then he says this, you know where they end up? They end up destroyed. They're born and caught to be destroyed. Oh, here's some of the symptoms. They blaspheme about matters they're ignorant of. They will be destroyed by their destruction. They'll suffer wrong as, now here's an interesting word, the wages for their wrongdoing. Do you know the word wages, the work word for a paycheck, is used here, and it is used as the primary word translated in your New Testament, reward. I'm going to be rewarded, and the paycheck I'm going to get will be based on my faithful and wise service to Christ, but there are some among us that will get their paycheck, and it will be destruction. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. Their blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions, and they feast with you. Oh, they're at church, they're at the potluck, but really they're in it for themselves. Matter of fact, their eyes are full of adultery. Oh, I know that's not supposed to happen, but they're there, and they're about themselves. They have an insatiable desire for sin, and they entice the unsteady souls among you. Their hearts are trained in greed. They are accursed children. You can put that in quotes because they're not God's children. They forsake the right way. They've gone astray. Oh, they're among us. They've heard the sermons. They know the teaching. They may have even read the Bible, but they're not doing it. They've forsaken the way. They followed after the way of Balaam, who loved the gain of wrongdoing. They're in it for themselves. He was just a religious figure for hire. And there are a lot of people that claim the name of Christ, and really they're in it for themselves. Serve yourself, and the Bible says the phonies will be judged. And if you look close enough, you can see some of that. And you know, I'm not calling you to look at everyone in this church and start making those evaluations. I just like everyone in this church to make that evaluation regarding themselves. Is this me? You know, Judas was the treasurer of the 12. Did you know that? He kept the money bag. Now, I know in your organization, you try to pick the most shady, questionable character to be the CFO. What does that say about Judas? He must have been someone with a reputation that people thought, this guy's got it together. Want a trustworthy guy to hold the treasury position in our organization. That's Judas. And by the time John wrote his gospel, the last gospel to be written, he looked back and I guess he checked the balance sheets and the P&L sheets, and he realized, you know what, now it all makes sense why I thought we'd have a profit in that quarter and we had a loss. And as he writes that story in the gospel about that expensive perfume that was spent on Christ, and he gets angry, and he says to the other disciples, this perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. Now, that means nothing to you, but think of it this way. 300 days' wage. That's a year's salary, almost. He said it could have been sold, and we could have given that money to the poor. Ding! Halo. And John, who's now apparently gone through the books and figured this out after he's revealed himself for who he is, he says, to quote very carefully, he says in John 12, verse 6, he said these things not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. He was in it for himself. He would get away with whatever he could get away with without getting kicked out of the organization. And when it was clear that the master said he's going to be betrayed and crucified in Jerusalem, he said, well, then there's nothing in this for me. So what did he do? Conspired with the enemies of Christ. For what? Do you remember what did he conspire for? 30 pieces of silver. At least I can get 30 pieces of silver out of it. You serve yourself, you'll be punished. Jesus reserved some of the strongest language that he ever used regarding lost people for Judas. So this may seem harsh, that this servant is cut into pieces. And if you're concerned over the label servant that gets cut into pieces, all I'm telling you is he's a servant in quotes. He's like those people that tell me they're followers of Christ, and in reality, they don't follow Christ. So be careful with that. As Paul would say, test yourself to see if you're of the faith. You don't want to get assigned to a place with the unbelievers. You want to be in the kingdom. And so I want to be category one servant who serves faithfully, who serves wisely. I don't want to be someone who just associates with servants of Christ and I'm actually serving myself. Verse 47, Luke chapter 12. There's another category here. The servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready nor act according to his will. So he's a servant. He's there serving the master, but he didn't get fully prepared here. He didn't follow all the instructions carefully. He knew his master's will, but he didn't act according to the will of the master. Now, there's got to be a distinction here between the guy in the corner who's getting drunk all day long and the guy here who just didn't follow the instructions very well. Well, what does he get? Dismemberment? No, he gets a beating, a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating, okay, he didn't have as much clear, explicit instructions. He received a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Now, what's this category all about? Let me make this case if I can prove this to you. There's a distinction between those who end with dismemberment and a lot with the people without faith, the unfaithful. And these people that continue their relationship with the master as servants, but they receive a beating. Now, I know that's harsh for our 21st century sensibilities that don't believe in corporal punishment, which is working out for this generation too, isn't it? It's a different sermon. But this is a relationship of a master to a servant saying, you've done wrong, and I'm going to correct you. And here's someone else who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and he deserves a beating, but he has a light beating because here's the master saying, well, I guess it wasn't as explicit with you. So I've got someone who maintains a relationship while the other is killed, dismembered, and allotted with those who don't have faith. I mean, I can't take this parable without seeing there's a big difference between those two. I don't want a beating, but I mean, it's different than dismemberment. That's why I tried to make that point as clearly as I could when we read the text. My conclusion then is that the one served himself and the other just served poorly. One was rebellious and the other was failing. In other words, one was a phony Christian and one was a sinning Christian.
Pastor Mike Fabares with a cautionary message titled The Fear of Responsibility, today on Focal Point. To listen again or to share this teaching with a friend, go to focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm sure right now we're all feeling that healthy discomfort as we consider our lives and contemplate how we might make better use of the time we've been given. And you know, one easy step you can take to maximize your impact for the kingdom of God is by supporting ministries like Focal Point. This program exists because of generous listeners like you. So when you give, you're helping deliver bold Bible teaching to men and women across the country. As a Focal Point listener, we know you believe in the unchanging truth of Scripture, and we invite you to link arms with us today so we can continue boldly proclaiming God's Word across the nation. So join the team that makes Focal Point possible. Give us a call, 888-320-5885. When you give, we'll say thanks with a book called The End Times in Chronological Order by Bible prophecy expert Ron Rhodes. This book provides a clear chronological explanation of what's ahead, events like the tribulation, the rapture, and the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, some people might think that focusing too much on the end times will distract us from serving God today. But as C.S. Lewis once said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. When our eyes are fixed on the return of Christ, we sense the urgency to reach our world in the here and now. So request your copy of The End Times in Chronological Order when you give by calling 888-320-5885 or donate and request the book online at focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather mail your donation, our address is Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Glad to have you with us today. And be sure to listen in Thursday as we continue plumbing the depths of Scripture on Focal Point. To Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.